What is the perfect movie franchise? Does such a thing truly exist? The License to Watch podcast sets out to answer that age-old question. Join comedians Matt McGregor, Harris McCabe, and Colin Shaw as they dissect your favorite film franchises one movie at a time. Along for the ride is a different film industry guest for every episode. Listen as the boys play judge, jury, and executioner and decide which of your favorite movie franchises are worthy of a license to watch.
Hello, everyone. Screenplay Archaeology host Kira Midhead here. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to get some intro stuff out of the way. First things first, we are now part of the Fandom Lib Media Podcast Network, so I'm going to link their site down below. And that's why you would have just heard a promo for another podcast, because they're another one of the shows on the network. And as per usual, if you like the show and you'd like to know more, you can check out our social media pages on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, and even Instagram now. The show also has a Patreon if you're willing to gift money, but you don't really need to if you don't want to. And we also have a Discord server, which you can join if you want to chat with, you know, the group members there. So that link is going to be down below as well. So yeah, sit back, guys, and enjoy the show. All right, everyone. Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Screenplay Archaeology Podcast. I am your host, Kira Midhead. And just to start off with, I'd like to apologize for the delay that followed. There was supposed to be another episode in the works, but Jake and I got distracted on some other stuff, namely an Oscars video we still haven't made yet, and our new podcast, which is the Universal Monsters podcast. I will link it down below. Just because this is coming out within a week of that first episode, that's going to be a monthly thing too. So I will link to the first episode of that down below. But to get into this one, I'm going to be covering a treatment for Ghost Rider 2, Riders on the Storm, as it's called, written by Todd Farmer and Patrick Lussier, who did Drive Angry and the My Bloody Valentine remake. And I'm jumping into this one just because I got delayed so much, I wanted to do another treatment that I could just read through without taking too many notes. Just to, you know, not have to do as much prep in order to get this one out. And I will try to get a full script episode done next, I promise, but we'll see. So yeah, this one is, it's written as a sequel to the first Ghost Rider movie. And this one, it starts out with, it's a kind of broken, burned out Johnny Blaze has, you know, he's kind of given up because things haven't gone too well for him. And then he has to go up against this guy called Zodiac with a K. For some reason, it's spelled like that. And his army of followers who are trying to steal the skulls of the previous Ghost Riders and steal the Ghost Rider's power from him. So that's basically what the plot is. And he has to hook up with some people to stop them. And so where I kind of fall on this one is I've done a Ghost Rider episode before, so I've kind of talked about Ghost Rider and how I feel about it. I feel like I can go into a little bit more depth now because I've read more stuff. But it's one of those things where it doesn't really matter what your background knowledge is when it comes to adaptations because even with just my tiny little experience from reading the comics, it changes with every writer what the lore is. Like, I've now read some stuff. Like, I've read, like, some of the early issues. I've read maybe a couple issues of the Dan Ketch book from the 90s. And I've read the Daniel Way and Jason Aaron runs, which are, like, two halves of the same story. And that last one especially is really good. I've also read the two Garth Ennis books. One is bad, one is good. I won't go into too much detail on that. And those are really good, but they're also a massive retcon of everything, which then gets completely ignored by the next person in line who writes a Ghost Rider book. And I started reading the 2022 book as well, which was pretty good, but it was like, it's a newer book, and Marvel Unlimited is on like a 3-month delay, and I put down Marvel Unlimited for a while just to go do other stuff. And I haven't gotten back to it yet, but I remember liking what I was reading. It leaned more into the horror stuff, which is cool. As far as the movies go, the first movie is weird because it has, like, some good stuff in it. Like, I think Nick Cage does a reasonably good job. Sam Elliott is fun as, like, the old cowboy Ghost Rider. But that's really where it ends. It's got a lot of, because it's a Mark Steven Johnson movie. It's got a fair amount of like generic superhero beats in it, specifically the ending and some other stuff in there. And the villains are just really lame. They're like a particularly sissy emo rock band who are like shitty at fighting and get killed in like 5 seconds apiece. And then the main bad guy's not one of the better Wes Bentley performances is Blackheart. And he gets taken down in about 5 seconds at the end in like a really stupid way. And it's all very kind of like kind of goofy and light and not really as dark as Ghost Rider could be. And then you get to the second movie, which keeps Nicolas Cage, but retcons everything else. So it's technically a reboot. And I like it more because it just goes for just this crazy exploitation vibe, even though it's PG-13 and it feels really weird because of that. And I enjoyed the crazy Neville Dean and Taylor style being applied to Ghost Rider. But it's a movie where the budget does show in certain places where, like, the first time Ghost Rider shows up, Ghost Rider just kind of stands still for a very long time and then is supposed to be doing the penance stare on this guy, but it doesn't look very convincing. It looks like they forgot to put the effects in. And just there's, like, some crappy stuff. There's, like, some goofy dialogue. And that's an adaptation of the David Goyer script, the 2001 script, because there's actually two different David Goyer versions of Ghost Rider. There's one from the 90s, which I think was at Savoy Pictures, and there's like next to no information about that one out there. And then there's the 2001 script, which Nick Cage was attached to, and that one didn't go because Sony thought it was too dark or something like that. They didn't want to do it with an R rating, and so that fell apart. And we got the Mark Steven Johnson movie. And that script's pretty good. I did the episode on it. It's got its flaws, as you know, Deus Deacon in the episode was more than willing to point out. But I think it was more or less on the right track, and with a little bit of tweaking, could have been a really good Ghost Rider movie. Now, we come to this. So the first movie comes out, and there's like some weird stuff with the release history of that first movie, where it was supposed to be like late 2006, like November, and something happened with Sony where they like pushed it back to February. I don't know why they decided to dump it out in February, but it ended up doing surprisingly well to the point that the weird pre-shows that they put before the movies, like it used to be called something else. They call it Newvie now, but it used to be called something else back then. They played it before the movie came out in theaters, and then they played it again when the DVD was coming out. I shit you not. I remember that distinctly. But there's some weird fuckery going on with that release, and it ended up doing better than I think they expected. And that's how we got Spirit of Vengeance. But before that, we have this. And so you get Todd Farmer and Patrick Lussier. They had just done the My Bloody Valentine remake, which is pretty good. I've never seen the original, so I can't speak on the comparisons. I know the original is like a very well-liked film in the slasher fandom. I've never seen it. But the remake, for what it is, it's not great, but it's pretty decent. And their next film, which is kind of how they got this job, is, well, they didn't get the job eventually, but the opportunity to pitch for the job was Drive Angry, which was a great early 2010s Nick Cage movie before, like, he just started making, like, reams and reams of, like, direct Redbox crap to help pay his tax bills. And it was really fun. It's a fun B-movie. You know, it might have a little bit of the sheen taken off it by the fact that it stars Amber Heard now. We know all kinds of crap about her these days. But it's a fun little movie. And it has like a cool, almost kind of Ghost Rider-y vibe to it. And it's in 3D, and the 3D is really awesome in that movie. Even though I've never actually seen it in 3D, I can just tell it would have been cool. Really fun movie. But so they wrote this movie, and they were pitching it. And I think it was Mike DeLuca was the producer, according to Todd Farmer on his blog. Because he's the one who shared the script initially, the treatment here. And they got Nick Cage involved. And in the middle of the process of them getting Drive Angry together, they got the opportunity to get their foot in the door to pitch for Ghost Rider 2. And Todd Farmer was a big Ghost Rider fan. In fact, he has Marvel Spotlight number 5, which is Ghost Rider's first appearance. The Ghost Rider that we know his first appearance, because there was the Ghost Rider who was just like a cowboy who wore like a white costume and ride like, ooh, I'm a ghost and scare people, which got folded into the continuity later on. And who knows if that's even canon anymore, because like I said before, Ghost Rider has been retconned so many times. It's insane. But what's really cool about this is that they got the opportunity to pitch. And I'm just going to read what he says here about the document on his blog, if I still have it pulled up. Patrick and I returned to the Ghost Cave and worked our magic. We decided to not only create a pitch, but since there were so many entities involved, Avi Arad, Marvel, Sony, and DeLuca, we would create a document we could leave behind. A doc that would represent our story, our characters, and our tone. And that's what we did. And so that's what we have here. It's Ghost Rider 2, Riders on the Storm, treatment by Todd Farmer and Patrick Lussier, June 13th, 2009, and begins with the rules. Forget what you know. This is the truth. Call it a preamble. Likely via voiceover, we hear Johnny Blaze encapsulate becoming the Ghost Rider, what his purpose is, and the rules of his supernatural alter ego, changing in the presence of supernatural evil or when innocent blood is spilled nearby. Which, the movies themselves are kind of cagey on that point. I think that came from the Dan Ketcher originally, and it's kind of gotten folded into the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider as the years have gone by and the character has been retconned like six more times. Blaze wasn't the first of his kind, but he was the first to spit in the face of the devil. Not exactly, because in the first movie, the Sam Elliott Ghost Rider just runs away. How the devil can't stop him is never really explained, which is one of the problems with that movie. He declined the role of the devil's bounty hunter. Rather than terrorize the innocent, Blaze chose instead to use a supernatural evil to slay those already in Satan's service. Sound easy? Sound like hero's work? Did to Blaze too, but walking with evil takes its toll. And sooner or later, it gets hard to tell the difference from the evil out there and the evil inside your own soul. Interesting direction to take Ghost Rider in, because that seems like a really classical thing to do. Also, it addresses that ending where he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go out and just be Ghost Rider. And he like does like the eyebrow raise. Like he does like a Dwayne Johnson eyebrow raise while he's on the motorcycle at the end. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, this ending's weird. And it's like, why is he able to do this? I mean, why can't Satan just be like, yeah, fuck you, and take the power away? It's, the logic is less than airtight at the ending of that movie. And doesn't he have like a Hellfire shotgun by the end of that movie? I remember him having that. I know that's a comic book thing. But opening, meet Johnny Blaze. Drunk and staggering, a shadow of what he once was, tormented by his years of being Ghost Rider. So they've kind of taken the page from, the Goyer draft does a similar thing with him, and the movie kind of does. I feel like the movie kind of took the Goyer draft and added like one or two little things from this into the formula. He stares at himself in the bathroom mirror of a shitty bar. He holds up his hand. Flames lick out from the fingers as he presses it on the reflective glass. It heats, distorts, cracks, blazes reflection fragments, pieces of Johnny, pieces of Ghost Rider. Finally, he smashes his face into the mirror, staggers back, drops to the filthy floor. Then the Hulk bursts from the mirror and calls him a puny human. This totally reminds me of that scene from Ang Lee's All. Door swings open. Meet Deacon Gray. Think Sean Bean, so we know exactly what's going to happen to this character. Once entered the priesthood, but slugged the bishop for eyeing an altar boy. He's rugged, righteous, and vicious with scars from brow to jawbone. That's not that far. He slaps Blaze across the face. Coffee, lots of it. Deacon forces Blaze to drink it, sobering him some. You good enough to ride? I cannot do a Sean Bean impression, asks Deacon. And, like, coffee does not actually sober you up. That's a myth. Just gotta point that out. They were very careful to tell us about that in Driver's Ed. I remember at least that much from that class. Blaze's Harley, the Easy Rider bike from the first film, kicks to life. It, too, is a mess. No longer clean or pristine. It's amazing it runs at all. It's as tarnished as Blaze is himself. Deacon glides up next to him on his own bike. The two take off. American highway through the Rockies. Mountainous terrain. Tunnels and open road. Blaze finally slows. Deacon next to him. We intercut their conversation. Blaze, you turned your back on everything you had going for you. Shit, you had achieved the dream. And now you can barely keep your head on straight. That ain't the half of it. I can't do a Nick Cage impersonation either. This thing inside you. If it ain't gonna leave on its own, then you gotta make peace with it, because you're letting it kill you. Be okay with it killing me. Hell, I'd welcome it. But it doesn't want me dead. It just wants out, so I gotta keep the road moving beneath me. Although, in fairness, Cage doesn't totally talk like Cage in those movies. He's doing like an Elvis impression. Yeah, that never seems to stop you from turning. You look on it like it's hell itself, but think of the evil that you smite. Blaze, that's a good thing. In the beginning, thought if I was pure of heart, true to myself, that I could control it. But now, seems like the worst kind of nightmare keeps finding me. Like I'm not a hunter of evil. I'm a goddamn magnet for it. I swear to you, brother, if we come to a crossroads and you want a peaceful day, just don't follow me, because my path's going to be full of pain and suffering. Makes me think there's a reason, like my jumping ship is throwing the balance out of whack, like I'm supposed to give in. To what? The dark side? Blaze, you do that and I'll personally send you back to hell myself. That is a promise. Johnny and Deacon lock eyes, then Johnny extends his hand. I'll take you at your word and hold you to it. Deacon shakes, the deal sealed. Deacon and Blaze race through the mountainous road, head through one tunnel, then emerge from another. Both screech their bikes to a halt. The wreck, almost blocking the road, flames everywhere. A bus has been T-boned by a truck. Blaze and Deacon dismount, examine the wreck. No bodies, no passengers, but stuff everywhere, like the bus was full. Deacon scans the surrounding night. They must have gotten out, must have. Blaze closes his eyes, tastes the air. No, they were taken, by force. You better go, brother. This is that nightmare I was talking about, and this one, I can tell, is gonna be bad. Flames lick out of Blaze's face, the Ghost Rider taking over when... RPG howls out of the darkness, nails Blaze's gas tank before his bike can go full hell cycle. The bike explodes, sending Blaze, his body already flaming, into the wreckage. They just destroyed the classic Harley, the bastards. They are evil. Deacon draws a sawed-off shotgun, which is for some reason capitalized, from his bike, takes over. Two figures withdraw, running back down the other side of the wreck. Deacon takes off after them, fires, hits one, throws a look back to Blaze. He's lost in the wreckage, then takes off after the other assailant. Stops at the first one he shot. There's a wicked brand on the guy's arm. A cross with a circle behind it, the symbol of the Zodiac. Yeah, Zodiac in this script, he's a comic book character. Here he has the logo of the Zodiac Killer. Like, his minions all have the logo of the Zodiac Killer. But they never, like, connect him back to that. The comic book character has nothing to do with that. He's just like a guy who's possessed by 12 demons. So this is an original take on the character. Then Deacon enters the tunnel. That's been transformed into a grim level of hell. The survivors of the wreck have all been strung up along the curve of the tunnel, and they're screaming, begging Deacon to help. The walls behind them have all been painted in archaic runes and symbols, painted in blood. Amanda, a girl in her early 20s, is partially free. Deacon cuts her loose. What the hell happened here? They took us, she's crying. Deacon helps her down as engines roar. Two stake bed trucks and a Humvee drive down the tunnel from the opposite end. Men clad in dark clothes amble out. These guys are like some kind of rogue militia inbred with a cult of Satan fuckers. That just makes me laugh. Badasses, each bearing the Zodiac brand. I'm sorry, that's just funny to me for some reason. I can't fully explain it. In an instant, Deacon is surrounded. A wiry fucker emerges from the Humvee, the Zodiac brand on his chest. Zodiac, with a K, leader of these militia fuckers. Deacon tries to shield the girl. The pleas of all the survivors of the wreck suddenly fade to whimpers. They're terrified. Deacon spots us for what it is. Look, if this is some kind of trap. Zodiac moves towards Deacon. A trap that's been sprung. Where's Blaze? Bus wreck. The wreckage is ablaze, and so is Johnny. He shoves himself out of the twisted metal, fire licking all over his body. His bike is destroyed, but Deacon's bike still stands. Tunnel. Deacon, you set a trap for Blaze? Not too bright, are you? No, this trap's not for Blaze. The Ghost Rider suddenly vaults over the flaming marriage of bus and truck, roaring towards the tunnel. Well, if it's the rider you want, your wish is about to come true. Zodiac flicks his wrist at Deacon. The air ripples with psychic energy, pummeling him off his feet, flying him against the tunnel wall when Ghost Rider screeches into the tunnel, flames licking out of Deacon's bike. The rider's weapon, a flaming chain whip, flies back, and the symbols on the walls of the tunnel begin to glow. The innocents hanging there wail in agony. Amanda shrinks back from the rider, runs to Deacon, and the very asphalt beneath the rider flares brightly in the symbol of the Zodiac, like it's been branded into the pavement itself. GR wheels the bike and launches it at Zodiac, but it rears on its hind wheel. The bike launches forward out of the circle, leaving Ghost Rider behind. GR tries to cross out the arcane circle, but can't. Zodiac. No! His forces launch at the rider, imprisoned in the Zodiac circle. They let loose with every weapon they have, and Ghost Rider goes insane. He lashes out with the chain whip, snagging any to get too close, but he's getting hammered. Yeah, he is just taking in all that whiskey. Deacon shoots one of the attackers, moves through the absolute chaos for his bike. Amanda's with him. Deacon punctures the gas tank, revs the engine, and launches it towards the circle. He aims the shotgun and blasts the bike just as it crosses the circle's perimeter. The asphalt erupts, the circle breaks, and Ghost Rider is loose. Chaos. The rider slashes and whips his way through the cultists. He's fueled by raging hellfire unlike any we've ever seen. Ghost Rider attacks. He swings the chain, cuts the binds to hold the innocents from the wreck, but as they are freed, several militia shoot them. The rider cannot save them and goes berserk. The militia, fueled by their own fanaticism, keep giving the rider everything they have. Deacon reloads, tells Amanda to run. When Zodiac grabs him, seizing him in a psychic grip, Deacon fights it. Elsewhere, GR rips through Zodiac's militia, but none are turning tail. They fight with savage ferocity. Ghost Rider tears through them, beating his way towards Zodiac himself. Zodiac, to Deacon, you put your faith in Blaze because his devil is just, but he can't control it anymore, Deacon. He's chaos incarnate. Not even the devil himself can control him, so he must be put down. Deacon strains against the grips that binds him, trying to aim the gun at Zodiac, but Zodiac slams his arm down and Deacon skids to the tunnel floor. In an instant, Zodiac releases Deacon and yanks the fleeing Amanda to him using his psychic pull. Deacon rises, aims the gun, pulls the trigger. Just as Amanda flies into Zodiac's grasp, the shot rips into Amanda, not Zodiac. Ghost Rider wheels around, innocent blood, and lashes out with hesitation, the chain whip sailing past Zodiac into chaos. A barrage of attacks, the last wave of militia fall on the Ghost Rider, but the Rider's fury is relentless. Thug after thug is cut into burning pieces, leaving the Rider standing there with just the moans and no sign of Zodiac. Thankfully, there are survivors among the innocents. Flames recede from the Rider, but not all the way. Blaze's face is now visible beneath them, his eyes glowing with hellfire, still ready to fight any of the militia that may not have done the smart thing and die. So yeah, we got a repeat of the Ghost Blaze idea, something similar to that was in the Goyer script. I don't know if that's intentional or if it's just a pure coincidence. It could be just a coincidence, but it's interesting either way. Moans, Blaze Rider moves through the chaos to find Deacon, burned, bleeding, dying. He shudders at the sight of his friend. Deacon, God, what happened to you? You did, Johnny, you did. Blaze, disbelieving, crouches next to Deacon. No, Deacon, you're good. I can't. The Rider couldn't hurt you. But in that instant, we see flashes of Ghost Rider's flaming chain whip coursing past Zodiac and biting into Deacon. Blaze can't shake the truth. This is on you, Johnny. My death is on you. And Deacon's eyes fade, his head lolls back. Blaze recoils. This can't be happening. Not far, Amanda, blood running from her chest, trickling from her mouth. The flames snuff out from Johnny's face. He bends to help her, and Amanda starts crabbing away, weak, terrified, and screaming. Blaze can see her terror at the very sight of him. Amanda won't stop screaming. The sound shrills through the tunnel, ripping through Blaze's ears like it will go on forever. So yeah, bye, Sean Bean. Nice knowing you. Not a bad kind of intro to introduce the movie with. Cool little action moment, interesting character dynamic you set up. It maybe would be more effective if you put like a montage in the middle of this so you see them kind of working together for a little while longer, and then you get to the tunnel sequence and he dies, so it has a little bit more impact. But other than that, neat little way to open the movie. 1 year later. England, the moors. We fly across miles and miles of rainy, wet countryside. Lonely and isolated, ancient stone walls, narrow roads or no roads at all. Finally, we circle a vast lowland marsh. A white horse is stuck in the bog. A 13-year-old girl, Mary, and her 18-year-old sister, Joanna, are trying to pull the horse out. But the horse keeps sinking further. The two girls are desperate. Suddenly, the whine of a small motorcycle engine catches them on the wind. The girls are relieved. They know that's the sound of the old motorbike the new marsh warden drives. Mary asks her sister, "Isn't he American?" Joanna nods. Joanna stays with the horse as Mary runs to the hilltop. She waves her arms frantically at a lone rider on the gray horizon. The rider stops, sees her, waves back a speck, but then revs the bike towards them. So yeah, we get a bit of a flashback to the never-ending story here with the horse. The marsh warden, wrapped in a wool sweater and beaten leather jacket, is Johnny Blaze, completely different than when we last saw him. The ancient motorbike, a 125cc Royal Enfield Flying Flea circa 1952, sputters beneath him. But Blaze pushes the bike to its limits like the pro he is, getting more out of it than anyone ever had a right to, even when it was new. And they show a picture of what the motorcycle would look like here, and it doesn't look that bad. Like, maybe, I don't know motorcycles, so I can't speak to this, but it looks like a solid vehicle to me. He leaps a stone fence like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape, then skids to a stop near the bog where the two girls are off the horse. Instantly, Blaze dives in, helping the girls coax the horse from the bog. Finally, to get the horse out, its white hair now covered with green-brown mud. And so's Blaze. Mary and Joanna grab the horse, and Johnny pushes the bike along B-side. Mary, that's not your real bike, is it? Children, their honesty, and their ability to cut through the bullshit. This is my work bike. I used to have a different bike, but it's gone now. Why are you here? I mean, you're American. You don't seem to fit this place. You must be so bored. Nothing ever happens here. It's exactly why I love it here. Blaze climbs onto the dirty old bike, waves to the girls, and peels out across the moors. This is another thing that's similar to where Spirit of Vengeance eventually went, is of setting it entirely in Europe for the most part, which is probably a budget-saving maneuver, really, but it's interesting that they both kind of do this. When the Goyer script that is the basis for Spirit of Vengeance was set in America, very specifically. The village, the devil you know, pub, subtle. Blaze, now cleaned up, is talking to Squire Brooks, a kindly, barrel-chested older man who clearly takes a shine to Blaze. We can tell that these two are friendly, but Blaze keeps the friendship at a distance. After all, anyone close to Blaze has a tendency to end up dead, or worse, except for Ava Mendez, but we're not going to talk about that. And as far as Blaze knows, friggin' Sam Elliott's still alive too, so... Backstory, Blaze has been in the village for 4 months. Squire gave him a job as the marsh warden. Blaze rides alone, patrols the marsh. Worst thing he's had to do is catch a 15-year-old poacher and report him to the constable in the neighboring village. Simple stuff. And strangely, Blaze seems to be sort of at peace. But he's careful not to get too close, and we hear the others in the pub make that observation when Blaze leaves early before getting totally shit-faced. Munich, Moore's intercut sequence. Munich, the heist, night. We pick up a team of professionals and Zodiac pulling in on a sleek concept Ducati, more shark than bike, entering a unique museum. And looking at this picture of the Ducati here, it definitely looks like a black plastic shark. I totally get where they're getting that from. Like, the sides of it, the exhaust things on the side of it look like shark gills. Seriously, it looks like a big lump of black, jagged plastic. The team of thieves is highly skilled and very high-tech. The museum is ultra-modern. A stark contrast to Blaze's life in England. We also meet the curator, an old ex-hippie historian who studies ancient lore, etc., who works at the museum. Moors. Squire hears motorbikes in the night. Three poachers kill livestock on his land. Squire calls Blaze. Blaze tells Squire to wait for him, but Squire goes out on his own. A poacher shoots Squire. Blaze senses innocent blood spilled as he gets on the old crappy bike. Flames lick from his hand. No. Blaze takes off on the crappy bike, arrives at Squire's farm. There, Squire is dying. Blaze leans next to him. Squire's blood on his hands. Innocent blood. And Blaze knows he won't be able to contain Ghost Rider any longer. The poachers load into an old truck that one drives. The other two are on dirt bikes. They pull out from Squire's house and see Blaze rising before them. Flames lick from his face. The poachers panic, shoot, and take off. Johnny goes full Ghost Rider and hops on the crappy old bike. And it shudders, its distinctive whining engine becoming throaty, more of a roar. Like its testicles just dropped. It's not the hell cycle Blaze is used to. But it's all he's got. He takes off. Ghost Rider driving across the moors. Flames licking out from him. Cool image. Munich, Zodiac, and the others meet Resistance. But Zodiac uses his psychic abilities and yanks the guards from cover where his sidekick, Maddie Simonescu, a kick-ass turbo-bitch Romanian, that's another funny description, shoots the guards in flight. Zodiac and Maddie are a deadly team. Defeating the last guard, Zodiac hunts down the curator. He's caught, bound, and dragged along with them as their prisoner. With the rest of the team, the thieves move quickly to a bizarrely high-tech case. We don't see what it contains as they begin to break their way in. The curator watches them, horrified. Why? Why do you want that? But Zodiac only smiles his response. Moors, Mary and Joanna watch from the farmhouse as the poacher's truck and dirt bikes rip down a side road, followed by Ghost Rider. Getting more out of the flaming vintage flying flea than heaven or hell would have ever imagined. Ghost Rider bears down on the poachers, whips his chain across the rear poacher, yanks him off his bike. I just got a picture. Okay, if anyone here who's seen Planet Terror, the Robert Rodriguez half of Grindhouse, that stupid fucking little bike that Freddy Rodriguez rides in that movie. Imagine the Ghost Rider getting on that and going, down the road. Munich, the case opens. Camera wraps around Zodiac to reveal its contents. A human skull sitting on a pile of dark earth. Below it, a plaque. The skull of the last protector of Germania. Legend says this skull belonged to a great nameless warrior who fought the Romans and filled them with fear. He was the last man standing in the Battle of Teutoburg in 58 AD. Where, even engulfed in flame, he fought the Roman horde for days alone before they finally put him down. Zodiac reveals a special canister, opens the vacuum seal, takes the skull from where it rests in the dirt, brushes it off, and places it in the container. Sealing the container shut, a Zodiac symbol etched into the brushed metal suddenly glows with the vacuum rush of air. Moors and Ghost Rider stutters, the flames on his skull visage snuff out. Blaze returning, the bike reverts, almost collapsing apart beneath him. Blaze fights to keep control of the whining Enfield flying flea. What the hell's happening? The remaining poachers are almost out of sight. When Blaze summons the Ghost Rider again, the flames lick back on him on the old bike, its engine whine reclaiming the throaty purr it had in Hell Cycle mode. Almost. There's something off about Rider and Ride. Blaze's face is still partially visible within his flaming skull alter ego. Ghost Rider takes off, cuts parallel to the fleeing poachers across a field. He gets airborne, lands on the roof of the truck, and shoots off of it, the chain biting into the cab. So once more, we get more Ghost Blaze concept here. The rider uses the truck as a pivot, rocketing around it, clotheslining the other poacher off his dirt bike. Then Ghost Rider yanks the truck off the road, flipping the entire truck over his head, to splash into the bog where the horse was stuck only days before. The remaining poacher scrambles out of the sinking truck and is seized by Ghost Rider. GR gives him the penance stare.
You killed my friend.
But on Ghost Rider's skull, we can see Blaze, not fully receded, like something's happened to the ghost to the rider's power. The difference between this and the Goyer draft is that in that, Ghost Blaze is just seemingly what happens whenever the Ghost Rider talks, and it's kind of strange. It only happens like 3, maybe 4 times in that script, and it's not like a big deal. Here, it makes a little bit more sense because it's a sign that his powers are kind of screwing up. Munich, Creedon, arriving at the Breach Museum, represents the Cabal, a multi-sect secret religious order that has united to thwart any grand satanic design. A priest, a rabbi, and a sleek Asian monk. It'd be great set for a joke if they didn't all look so impossibly grave, standing at the empty case where the skull was kept. The rabbi paces on his phone. Find him. If we don't, they will. So it's the secret society from Van Helsing. If you're listening to this, Jake, thumbs up. War's dawn, which means the sky turns from black to subtle dark foreboding gray. Two small duffel bags are lashed to the crappy bike. Shed doors open and Blaze pushes the bike out. Blaze quietly walks his bike to the top of the road overlooking the village. He stops, throws one last look back at his home for the past few months, then starts the bike. Screech! Blaze pivots to see a rental car tops the hill, skids. Blaze kicks off the bike, lands on the hood, and rolls up it. As the car slams, the crappy flying flea launching it down the hill where it shatters on impact. Blaze rolls off the hood, helped to his feet by the apologetic driver, Kate Ronson. Blaze stares down at the ruined bike, grabs his bags. Now what? Kate recognizes him. Blaze, Johnny Blaze, the American. There are better ways to ask for an autograph, lady. Autograph? Oh, yeah, that's cute. No, I need you to come with me. I like that the script remembers that he's like a celebrity. Blaze? Disbelief? Come with? Who the hell are you? Are you totally unaware? Witnesses say they saw a man riding a flaming motorcycle. A man who was on fire across the moors last night. Say he killed 3 men, that he may have killed a man named Squire Brooks. Squire was my friend. Yeah, and like most of your friends, he ended up dead, except for Ava Mendez. Look, Mr. Blaze, I don't give a shit if you're traveling around the countryside torturing yourself for your sins, real, imagined, or otherwise, but I do care that the hitchhiker inside you, the one that ignites and lashes out a fiery vengeance, is going to become an endangered species in a matter of days if you don't get your bony ass in my car and listen to what I have to say. She called the skeleton man bony. Kate turns, heads back to her car. Either that or you can speak to the authorities. I'm sure they'll love to hear your tales of flaming skulls and deals with Satan. How do you know so much about me? It's my job. Blaze takes one last look at the town, then follows this crazy woman to her car, intrigued that she knows so much about him. Driving. You're not the first rider, Mr. Blaze. I'm aware of that. There was another. Several others, throughout history. And upon their deaths, the riders have been laid to rest throughout Europe. Interesting this, because this is kind of what the Jason Aaron run does, where there's like multiple ghost riders, and it's not just a legacy thing. There's actual multiple ghost riders at the same time. All around the world, they just never run into each other. And there's this really awesome splash panel where there's like all these, there's like a dude on a skeleton elephant. There's a dude riding a shark. It's insane. See, that's similar but different. Deaths? Deaths how? Someone is always hunting the rider, or haven't you noticed? Noticed, yeah, but I was starting to think I couldn't be killed. I'd like to know how. By being tricked, of course, but we can feed your suicidal tendencies later. Only the remains of a few are left. Last night, one was stolen from Munich. I'd be surprised if you didn't notice. Last night? Blaze tells her of the power interruption when Ghost Rider seemed to blink off for a few seconds. Someone is stealing the skulls, Mr. Blaze. With each skull they get, the weaker you will become. We must find the other skulls before they do. How do you know this? Because I work for religion, Mr. Blaze. Which religion? All of them. One thing about this I don't particularly care for is the idea that the power has something to do with the person's skull. Because it almost makes it sound like it's the source of the Ghost Rider's powers from the skulls of the previous riders. I don't think that quite makes sense, but that's something you could iron out in like a full draft if it were to happen, where you just say, oh, Zodiac can tap into the power of the Ghost Rider and like fuck around with it because the skulls of each Ghost Rider have like a residual like power, if like that's like a residue of the power left on there or something like that. I'd buy into that more than that the skull is the battery. Like, we all have skulls. I don't quite follow the logic there. Kate gives him her backstory. She's an archivist, does obscure research for the cabal of religious representatives, has been working with several historians around the world, creating links to legends of mysterious anonymous riders, flaming riders throughout history. The Ghost Rider lore, she thought it was merely a recurring story like vampires. But last night, one of the skulls was taken and I'm sent here to find you, the current rider. I kept thinking you'd laugh in my face, call me crazy. Guess I sort of hoped you would, but you haven't. Which means either you're crazy or you are what they say you are. Or both. He can't believe it. She stops the car as they near a train station. Blaze gets out. Kate takes off after him. He wheels on her. You have no idea what you're messing with. People close to me die. I thought out here in the middle of nowhere it'd be different. Well, I was wrong. No one is safe. If whatever is happening makes me an endangered species, then great. Bring on the extinction. Kate slaps him across the face. Blaze recoils, shocked. Look, you selfish, self-pitying adolescent. There's much more at stake than you. Blaze touches the blood on his lip. You're lucky I'm not innocent, or you'd finally see one of your riders face to face. The skulls are like a battery. In their resting places, they fuel the rider. Take it from their resting places, place into confinement, and the rider's power fades. But the power of the skulls, pardon me, does not. If the skulls are all brought together, their power will be immeasurable. Imagine the power that you possess times 7, and in the hands of whoever has figured this out. You think it's motherfucking Teresa who wants to wield it for a little let's cure the sick fun? No, it's someone who wants to fuck up the shit of the world, and they know you're the only one who can stop them. And they figured out how to make sure you don't. Europe, decaying theater. We don't know where, but this run-down, centuries-old theater is still losing its battle with gravity and surrendering to decay. Inside, a container with the Munich skull is visible. Next to it, another container with a skull marked Carter Slade, the Ranger. They both sit equal distance apart in the center of a zodiac symbol, which sits in the center of a heavily runed circle. Dark containment magic. Zodiac looms over them, scraping fragments from each skull, and grinding the fragments with mortar and pestle. So, yeah, they have Carter Slade, that's Sam Elliott. Did they kill him and take the skull, or did he die between movies? Because last time we see him, we get that build-up, like, oh, I got one more ride in me. And then he rides to the fight, turns human again, and then leaves, and is fine at the end of the movie. So, someone killed him between movies, or with his power spent, he dies of natural causes, finally? It's not clear. That's something else that could be ironed out in a full script. Without facing Maddie, Zodiac says he'll be here soon. Has the curator revealed the next location? Not yet. Zodiac shakes his head. Always gotta do it yourself. He passes their elite team, throws open the ancient dressing room where the curator is being held to find it empty. Find him! The street, the curator runs, staggers, falls, limps, slams into a telephone booth. He dials. The high-pitched electric hum of a Moto-Suze E1 Vic? I cannot pronounce that. Superbike needles through the narrow street. Maddie, clad in black, speeds with stealth towards the phone booth. The curator urgently speaks in German when the windows of the booth smash and he's snatched out of it. Paris, Denfer, Rochereau. Night, the catacombs. Kate and Blaze arrive at the center of the huge Paris roundabout where the entrance to the catacombs is located. So this is a cool idea for a scene. Kate tells Blaze that the Cabal has informed her that one of the rider's skulls is hidden below. The thieves are likely going here next. The catacombs are locked, but Blaze breaks in. They walk down a dark stone spiral staircase into the Paris underground, arriving in the dimly lit tunnels. And they're filled with skulls, millions of them. This ossuary dates back to the 1700s and was the repository of so many remains. Blaze and Kate reel at how far the catacombs stretch and how many skulls are down here. The duelist's skull, immersive, Potter-esque vision. Moving through the maze of old bones, Blaze suddenly succumbs to visions of the duelist. Star of a Ridley Scott movie, a rider from the French Revolution. Blaze sees his final demise, praised by a bloodthirsty mob who turn on him, suddenly ramming the duelist into a guillotine. The blade, gleaming in angelic blue, crashes down, and then the duelist's skull, held in reverence, is placed in its final resting place. Blaze looks at a winding wall of skulls and bones and sees through them to the duelist's skull hidden behind. He and Kate pull at the bones until they make a small hole. Kate looks at Blaze. He's too big, so she dives into the hole, emerging into a dark stone chamber. There's pictures of these chambers, too, and they look really cool. Blaze calls to her from the tiny hole. Inside, a daisy chain of bones spiral around a mound of skull. Shadows move behind Blaze. They aren't alone. Blaze peers through the tunnel. He can see the duelist's skull glowing like it's on fire. Decayed, all the skulls are just normal skulls, so he has, like, predator vision for Ghost Rider stuff. That's kind of cool. He directs her to the duelist's skull. It hides on a tiny mound of earth. Kate takes the skull and the earth with it into a messenger bag. Blaze feels the presence of supernatural evil. Flames flick out across his hands. Kate, gotta get out of here. She moves for the hole when the stone ceiling above her crumbles away, and Maddie drops down on top of her. So we get a chick fight. Blaze starts going full Ryder when a blast of psychic energy throws him into the bone wall. Zodiac and the others have arrived. Blaze compels the Ghost Rider to the surface. The Flaming Skull almost going full, but Blaze's face still flickers beneath it, pained by the partial transformation. He lets loose with the Flaming Whip, only he's not as powerful as he used to be. That and the Catacombs are a crappy place to fight with a whip. Once again, script making relatively realistic observations that are making me laugh. No room, it's hand-to-hand for Ghost Rider, but he is Ghost Rider, so he kicks ass. The Chamber, Kate tries to fight Maddie. Maddie's a total kung fu bitch. Jesus Christ. But Kate's scrappy as fuck. She ends up diving back into the tiny hole with the skull, tumbles back into the cavern to see the flickering of Ghost Rider, flames licking out as he chases after Zodiac and his men. Kate runs with the skull, heads for the spiral steps. Maddie is right on her heels. Zodiac climbs out of the catacombs from their alternate entrance with the Rider right behind him. Zodiac is cut off from his wheels and darts through traffic. The Rider takes Zodiac's Ducati, steals his fucking bike, I love it. Ghost Rider bears down on Zodiac. The Ducati becomes the amazing Hell Cycle. GR catches Zodiac. Zodiac is no match, terrified. Ghost Rider fixes him with the pendant stare, the melding vision, shows all Zodiac's evil deeds, ending with Deacon's death. Then another figure approaches Deacon's body. GR is about to see the truth of what happened back in the tunnel when, intercut, a new biker roars through the shadows, rides at Kate. She barely escapes as this shadow biker takes the skull from her and in one move, seals it in a vacuum case. And GR's power suddenly sheds away, like it's been cut out of Blaze. He stumbles back, Zodiac also staggers, weakened heavily by the pendant stare. Blaze tries to summon the Rider's flames back, but they're suppressed. He can only go part way, and that part way hurts like a motherfucker. Zodiac crawls from Blaze's screaming agony when Maddie speeds up, her arm lowered, scoops Zodiac onto the back of her cycle, so Zodiac is now riding bitch. Beyond her, the Shadow Biker, a familiar shotgun in his hand. Blaze, flames finally licking from his skin, his eyes on fire, climbs onto Ducati to give chase when the Shadow Biker fires. But Blaze revs the Ducati, avoids the shot. Ghost Blaze, they call him Ghost Blaze here, interestingly enough. Pivots to see the Shadow Biker chamber another round, single-handed. The skull case by his side, then peel off. Blaze, half Ghost Rider, and in pure agony, races the Ducati after him. That's interesting, the idea that the halfway transformation kind of fucks him up. That could be a really interesting, you know, thing to see. Chase ends as GR can't take the pain. The Shadow Biker fires back, blowing Johnny off the Ducati. Ghost Blaze rises, the burning chain disintegrating in his fingers. His eyes are molten, but still seeing the face of the Shadow Biker looking back. It's Deacon, and Johnny collapses. Dun, dun, dun. I actually do like that, because they put the Sean Bean thing in there to make you think, oh yeah, obviously he's dead, and then he's not dead. That's actually really cool. That would be a cool fake out if they actually got Sean Bean in the movie. And let's be honest, it wouldn't be hard to get Sean Bean, because, I mean, he does a fair amount of smaller stuff. And also, I mean, it's a realistic one. It's not like some other scripts I've read where they'll, like, fantasy cast an actor who obviously will never do this movie. Like, there's, the one that always comes to mind is Halloween Returns, which has that post-credits scene at the end where it's like, Dr. Loomis, a.k.a. Gary Oldman. And I'm like, no fucking way is Gary Oldman in 2015 going to do a Halloween movie. Like, just no way. So this is, like, attainable. The Cabal. Blaze finds himself, the Ducati, etc., in a sleek, ultra-modern European building. He wakes to see a cluster of religious figures, priests, rabbis, monks, etc., all engaged in furious debate. And at the center of them, Kate. Johnny enters. Hey, who the hell are you guys? They introduce themselves as the Cabal, a religious entity that has worked in secret to monitor and, if possible, thwart the machinations of Lucifer and his minions here on Earth. Blaze laughs at them. You guys, you gotta be kidding me. And why is my friend, my dead friend, behind whatever is going on? I killed him. I saw him die. How? Kate's the only one brave enough to respond. We don't know. Until you saw him, we didn't even know he was alive. Actually, didn't really know he existed. Okay? That's strange. Blaze, great. Just great. Your secret society is really awesome. Let me guess, it's called a secret society because you chuckleheads don't know any. And a priest is just like, Mr. Blaze, we know that your friend. What's his name? Deacon. Deacon Gray. He wouldn't do this. Deacon. He was a good man. Asian monk. Perhaps, or maybe you never knew what kind of man he was. No word on if he's the bulletproof monk. And then the priest. What he was isn't the issue. We know that Deacon and Zodiac have 3 of the 7 skulls. Well, fine. Let's go get the other 4. Asian monk. We already have 1. We do? Can I see it? Where is it? Kate smacks him on the side of his head. Where do you think? Another legitimately funny moment. Okay, the other three then. Where are they? The others gather around Kate, who has high-tech maps drawn on glass, analyzing where the skulls might be. You mean you guys don't even know where these all-powerful skulls are laid to rest? Asian Monk, one of us knew, but he is not available at the... Deacon has him. The curator was taken from the museum in Munich, his research destroyed, and now the information only exists in his head, and yours. Blaze, getting it. Because I can actually see the skulls, but so what? I can't go door to door across Europe. You gotta get me in the right door, at least. Rabbi, perhaps we can. They all stare at Blaze. Blaze looks to Kate. You are the rider. You might have this secret in you. Right? Okay, what's that supposed to mean? Just pop my skull open, have a look inside? Rabbi, I would like to hypnotize you. Hypnotism's bullshit. Don't believe in it. Priest. But you believe in deals with the devil that result in your head catching fire? That's not a question of belief, just a fact. A fact I'm getting more and more tired of. Fine, you want to try and hypnotize me? Let's go for it. Another thing which is kind of similar to what we ended up getting in Spirit of Vengeance, because there's a whole thing with, like, the cult with, Christopher Lambert's people. And he, like, and they, like, decide, and they want to, and they try to do, like, a ritual with him, and they want to, they do, like, the ritual with him to, like, get rid of the Ghost Rider, but then they turn out to be evil, and it's like, what? So it's kind of like that, because that wasn't in the Goyer draft, interestingly enough. Deacon sharpens an archaic cavalry saber. Its blade gleams blue and blinding with each stroke of the stone, reminding us of the guillotine blade that took the duelist's skull. Deacon looms over the curator, paper maps strewn everywhere, all drawn on, research displayed. Behind them sit the three cases, each with skulls. You're sure? Curator nods. Because goose chasing us won't help you. What we're doing for the good of all. Curator doesn't believe that, but he nods his agreement anyway. Deacon, Zodiac, and Maddie ride out. Character beat. Deacon believes his mission is righteous. So, adding some interesting depth to Deacon here. Skulls of the Riders. Terrifying hypnotism summoning sequence. Blaze sits in a darkened room that's more like an operating theater. His chair is bolted in the center of a Zodiac symbol, etched into a pentagon at the center of a pentagram. Interesting that they're using that symbol, too. All sorts of religious graffiti mark the walls. The rabbi and Kate secure Blaze to the chair with heavy psychiatric hospital restraints, while the rest of the cabal watch from behind the glass observation window. You guys know, I can't go all the way. I feel sorry for you, dude. I've tried, but the rider, he can't come all the way out. Sorry. I'm being horribly immature right now. Rabbi, let's hope he doesn't come out at all. Okay, I won't do that anymore. The Ghost Rider has been part of you long enough that we should be able to get what we need from you, Johnny Blaze. And the restraints? A precaution. Blaze tells him he doubts he can be hypnotized. Before the sentence is out, he's under. And we're traveling, riding with Blaze as he rides with the riders from the past. This could be really cool. Abstract, ghostly, and terrifying. Blaze is wrenched inside the vision. The Ranger, Carter Slade, Sam Elliott, from GR1, his skull taken from his Western American resting place. The Brute, the Germanic protector from the Munich Museum, a flaming berserker wielding a fiery hammer, skull found, protected, and preserved in the Munich Museum until Zodiac and Maddie claim it. The Duelist, riding through the streets of Paris, flames licking out from his hellsteed as he vaults over a massive barricade during the Revolution. The guillotine before him is lit up in a flash of lightning. In the circle, Blaze is torn from rider to rider, becoming the rider, then watching the riders wreak furious vengeance to their satanic masters, then seeing their final resting places. The rabbi and Kate move back as Blaze's eyes begin to glow. Molten light coursing inside, cracks in his flesh begin to appear. The rider within him is coming forward. Kate steps towards Johnny, but the rabbi jerks her back. We do not enter the circle. Blaze is pulled into the saint, a holy man that predates Christ. He battles a Bronze Age army from a flaming chariot. Shouldn't that make him a ghost driver instead of a ghost rider? You know, it's a question worth asking, right? His flames fade into a withered old man, his skull seeming to float next to the Nomad, an Arabian rider who shoots flaming arrows from a curved bow of fire. His skull snuffs through time and is secreted away to join the saints in a massive chandelier of skulls in a church filled with bones. Blaze screams out in the circle, two of them, there's two that rest together, a church of bones, he roars, flames jetting from his eyes as he's propelled into the champion, a heavily armored black knight, plumes of fire ripping from skull and armor, the armor itself glows red like iron in a forge, that is awesome, a lance of fire cleaving through a pilgrimage caravan, he rears on his massive hell steed, his skull now snuffs in his helmet, his mission over. Blaze turns his head, like he's trying to see, past a row of strange medical specimens, hideous and preserved for ages, jar after jar. some kind of storeroom in an old medical university, maybe Romanian. And there, in an ancient lead glass jar sitting on earthen mound, is the skull of the champion, and a shadow crosses. A face is reflected in the warped glass, Deacon distorted, and ahead of Blaze. Deacon takes the skull from its resting place. Blaze bursts from the chair, the rider scorching out of his flesh. Its whip is out. Blaze isn't in control of it. The ghost rider is pure rage, lashes around the circle, trying to escape. The rabbi tries to calm the rider, speaking to Blaze inside, but the rider whips at the rabbi, sending him back through the glass observation window. Deacon places the champion skull into one of his vacuum cases. It seals shut with a hiss, and the rider and Blaze wails like a tormented banshee, levitating in pure agony. Blaze is being dragged back through the fire of the dissipating rider, his whole body shaking like he's birthing from hell itself. He slams to the floor. Kate rushes him. Blaze twitches, his eyes still burning, his mouth still on fire. He can't control any part of the rider. It ripples in and out of him like a furious animal smashing at the walls of its cage. Only that cage is Blaze. Kate takes Blaze's face in her hands, her fingers burning, but she holds him, speaks to him, compels him to take over, to take charge, to come back. And finally he does. Johnny Blaze returns and slumps into Kate's arms. She holds him, a pieta pose, stroking his tormented face. We can feel the connection between them. Man and woman on screen together. Can you hear me, Jake? Catching his breath, Johnny says, Deacon has another skull, but I know where the last two are. Kate looks from Johnny to the cabal. The rabbi still lives. Their faces are grim. Decaying theater. Deacon returns with the champion skull laid out on the floor. Are the skulls of Carter Slade, the Brute, and the Duelist. Zodiac takes the champion skull and adds it to the ritual. He scrapes fragments from the latest skull, grinding it to powder. Deacon looks to Maddie. Get the curator. See if he's found the last two locations. The curator's loom is locked. Fire's flickering under the door. They kick their way in to see the curator hanging from the rafters, his papers in flames. The flames licking up his dead body. There won't be any more information from him. Deacon wheels on Maddie. Find Blaze. Track him. Train to the Czech Republic. The Ducati is loaded in baggage. Blaze and Kate ride together in a small compartment. The rabbi has given her a high-caliber hand cannon. Small, but packs a massive wallop. She looks at it with reservation, but Blaze tells her to hang on to it. Odds are good she's gonna need it. They finally have a heart-to-heart where Kate is less aggressive and more sympathetic, and somewhat in awe. She touches Johnny's face. How do you go on with the rider inside you? How do you do it? And we see Johnny's veneer of steel crumble. It's been far too long since he let anyone into his twisted reality. No one's been close to me, touched me, for forever. Everyone who I have loved, who has been my friend, leaves or dies. Or you leave them. You're being a little selective with your memory there, Blaze.
I'm not going anywhere, Johnny. I don't understand what you go through. No one can. Except maybe those that have ridden before you. But they never fought their dark destinies the way you have. Except for Carter Slade. I'm not going to do it anymore. Who told the devil to fuck off and left.
Their partnership has transformed from an uneasy alliance to romance. Blaze is timid, even terrified. But Kate is confidant. It says confidant, not confident. She takes control, gently kisses him. And that kiss heats into passion. Shutters are drawn. And trans-European train sex begins. Oh. Another funny way to describe something. Outside Prague, Sedlik Ossuary. Blaze steers a Ducati into the graveyard. Kate holds tight behind him. They get out, expecting to be attacked, wary. As they enter the chapel, Maddie's near-silent electric bike comes into view.
So, they decided they were going to track Blaze. How they found him, I don't know.
The ossuary, skull, bones, and death are everywhere. There's a picture of this place. Looks really fucking cool. Blaze sees in his eyes only the luminous skulls of both the saint and the nomad. They are high above them in the chandelier. Gotta go get Leon Kennedy to help you out with that. Original RE4 Leon, not remake Leon, where they took the chandeliers out. Blaze sees fragments of both riders of their deaths. The saint, now old, prays as a beautiful woman raises a curved blade behind him. The nomad led to sinking sand. Arrows dipped in black pitch fly into his body until he disappears below the surface. Then how'd they get his skull out? Obvious question, not answered here. Maybe in the full script they would have if that had been written. Blaze senses something new. Senses something about the deaths of each rider. Kate looks to him. What is it? They were betrayed by someone who loved them, someone they loved. That's how they died. He holds his look with Kate, then she turns her attention to the chandelier of bones and skulls. Help me climb up. Blaze shakes his head, spots instead a way to lower the chandelier. That is really funny. He's working smarter, not harder. I like that. They pluck the two rider skulls, place them in a heavy messenger bag.
Blaze puts it over his shoulder. The mere touch of the skull seems to renew his power, as if being this close to the source of power is fueling the rider inside him. Once again, I don't really think that makes a whole lot of sense. It should be... Why would the human skull be powering the Ghost Rider? I don't get that, but once again, you can fix that in a rewrite. They board the Ducati and ride out. The train ride back. End of Act 2 set piece. In the bar car. Now we need to get the other skulls from Deacon, says Kate, but finding him will be the challenge. Blaze reacts, sensing the approach of supernatural evil. We won't have to. He's already found us. Outside the train, Deacon on his own supercharged bike roars next to the tracks. Maddie with Zodiac ride next to the engine. Zodiac boards the engine, hijacks the train, takes control and keeps it moving at gunpoint. This is like a Western now. It's kind of cool. Deacon revs his bike along an overpass above the train and drops onto the top of the bar car. The bike collapses in the top of the train, folding it down like a ramp, allowing Deacon to ride right into the car. He steps off the bike, the Civil War cavalry saber in one hand, his shotgun only now demonized in the other. So yeah, now he has a Hellfire shotgun, like Blaze does at the end of the first movie, and had in the, I think it was the Danny Ketch comics where he had a Hellfire shotgun, because he wasn't Ghost Rider at that point. So he just dropped into the bar car like he's a giant scorpion from Resident Evil Zero. I'm getting all the Resident Evil references in these two pages here. Damn. Blaze versus Deacon. On the train, Skull's by his side. Blaze goes rider, still not all the way, but stronger than he was in Paris. However, Deacon's turbocharged. He's way more than he was before, fueled by some ancient evil coursing through his veins. They fight whip against saber and shotgun. Finally, Deacon seizes Kate. The Skulls! And the Skulls 2 and Skulls 3. Bad joke. They fight whip against saber and shotgun. Finally, Deacon seizes Kate. Oh, I already read that. Kate struggles, pulls out her own handgun, and pushes it under Deacon's chin. Firing, Deacon rockets back, but he's not dead. Not even close. She takes off, but there's only one way up. One way to go. Up the ramp made in the roof of the train car. She finds herself on top of the speeding train, with nowhere to go but back its length. Away from Deacon, who vaults up onto the roof, back on his bike. He guns it at her. She's got nowhere to go when the flame whip snakes around Deacon, jerking him back. Deacon clings to his bike, swinging it around with him as Ghost Rider snaps the chain back, spins Deacon and his bike off the train, only to land miraculously on the tracks behind it. Kate loses her balance, is about to fall off the train when the flaming whip snakes around her, pulls her back from near death into the Ghost Rider's arms. Kate is face to face with a near flaming skull. Blaze is still visible beneath, but the rider is in more control. He spins, lets her go. Kate slides down the makeshift ramp into the train car. The rider runs down the length of the train towards the baggage car near the front. Why would it be near the front? He whips down at the roof, slashes three times, then jumps and smacks down on the top, creating another ramp. Ghost Rider surfs down the ramp. Ghost Surfer arrives right in front of the Ducati. Deacon's bike slams on top of the rear of the train. He screams along the top of the speeding train. Ghost Rider blasts out of the baggage car, flames lunging out of the Ducati hell cycle. Deacon, his saber held high, revs at the rider. The rider launches at Deacon. They scream, hell-bent at each other across the top of the speeding train. Deacon rears back with the saber ready to strike. Ghost Rider bears down on Deacon. Zodiac hits the brakes in the engine. The train lurches violently. Deacon vaults skyward, swinging the saber at the rider's skull. Ghost Rider ditches the Ducati on its side, slides under Deacon. The flaming whip slashes around Deacon's throat, but Deacon's blade hooks around the messenger bag strap, cutting the skulls free. And in that instant, the rider's power retreats, not all the way, but enough for Ghost Blaze, there's that term again, to lose his grip on Deacon. But not enough for Deacon to lose his grip on the bag. Deacon yanks in the messenger bag, clings to the skulls. Deacon revs off the side of the train and away, ahead of the stopping train, and across the trestle down the tracks. Ghost Blaze rights the semi-hell cycle and speeds after Deacon, lands hard, almost spilling. Maddie rides a dead intercept course with Deacon, two vacuum cylinders in her saddlebags. She and Deacon skid together. Blaze pours on speed, riding along the rail. He's got to get there before the canisters are sealed. The skulls disappear up in the rune-marked cylinder as they hit their containment, locking out Blaze's power. The Ghost Rider spasms wildly in Blaze, tumbling him from his bike. The bike careens to a stop, but Blaze goes over the side of the trestle. He barely hangs on by his fingertips. Deacon steps up to the edge and looks down at his friend, clinging for his life. But before Deacon can speak, Blaze lets go and falls into the river over 100 feet below. Kate staggers from the halted train into Zodiac. The river, Blaze rises from the icy waters, staggers to the riverbank. So, pretty cool action scene there, I gotta say. even with my dumb Resident Evil Zero joke. The Cabal! Blaze arrives with the battered Ducati. Deacon has Kate and the skulls. He wants Blaze to come to him. The Cabal are against it. Now that Deacon has the six Rider skulls, Blaze can summon so little of the Ghost Rider. He'll be facing Deacon and his minions as Blaze, and that's how Deacon will take Blaze's skull. Blaze turns to them. Then he's welcome to try. The Binding Knot. Close on the skulls, the last fragment shaved off, ground to powder. Zodiac pours the powder into red-hot liquid glass, then folds the glass into a binding knot, made from the skulls of the six riders past. We're ready. You know, if he's a Zodiac, wouldn't it make more sense if he was doing it with 12 skulls? But I guess that would make the movie too long. Or it would have to start with him being so far ahead of the curve that we couldn't possibly catch up with him. Like, there'd be no hope of Blaze being able to get the skulls first, which this does kind of, you know, make it seem like he could. The showdown, Acalare, Spain. An isolated bowl of red rock and earth. Caves litter a long canyon. These are the caverns of the Inquisition, where so many were found guilty of witchcraft and tortured and heresy. And, you know, being Jewish and being Muslim and, like, a host of other things. You know, not just witchcraft. In fact, the Catholic Church didn't really hunt witches. That was mainly a secular thing. But, you know, that's me being a history nerd here. The place overflows with evil, and at the mouth of the cavern, Zodiac has set up the skulls, each in its own circle, pulled from the vacuum canisters. Only now each skull is marked with the Zodiac symbol on its brow. I'm wondering, would there have been in the full script, would there have been like a line that would have connected this guy to the Zodiac killer, since they're using his symbol here? I do wonder if that would have been there. Zodiac, the Ghost Rider villain, as played by John Carroll Lynch. That would be interesting. Other runic markings are all over the skulls. Zodiac's dark controlling magic covers them. And attached to a chain, the glass binding knot, Zodiac puts it around his neck. The skull fragments melted within the knot begin to glow. Zodiac turns on Deacon. You must get Blaze's skull fast. Without it, I won't be able to control them for long. Deacon sharpens the old cavalry saber. You just run them long enough to get me close to him. I'll do the rest. Kate eyes them both. You're all so cliched. Kidnapping me? You really think Johnny's that stupid to hand his head to you for my life? That I know I can count on. He's unpredictable in a lot of ways, but I can guarantee he's going to ride in here to save you. After that, well, it's anybody's guess. The glass knot around Zodiac's neck glows brighter. The corresponding symbol marked on each of the rider skulls glows as well. Zodiac nods to Deacon, and Deacon takes a torch, setting each skull alight, which is misspelled. On the road, Blaze is met by Maddie. Come on, tough guy, I'll take you to Deacon. She leads them into the canyon mouth. Beyond, he sees Kate strung up to a pair of crossed saplings. Oh, they're gonna, like, cut the rope and they're gonna flip and she's gonna rip in half or something like that. That's their plan, isn't it? She's illuminated by six small fires around the mouth of the cavern. Deacon, let her go. You want me. I'm here. No fight. Just let Kate walk out and I'll walk in. Deacon shouts back, Blaze, I made you a promise to end your life if you lost control of the Ghost Rider. And you have. You are the very thing you thought you fought against. And now I'm going to make good on my promise. With that, Deacon turns and slashes the saber across Kate's midriff. She screams as her blood, innocent blood, spills. Blaze summons the rider, or what he can, his face singeing with dim flames. Barely a hint of the rider's skull visible. He revs the Ducati, the substance of the chain growing in his hand. Maddie cackles with delight as he tears towards Zodiac, cackles until GR's glowing chain snaps back, wraps around her, and engulfs her in hellfire. Back on Ghost Rider as he thunders towards Zodiac, the glass knot is now fire red around his neck. He raises his arms, and the burning skulls rise up, flames licking down from them as they form the fiery phantoms of Ghost Rider's past. Ghost Blaze reacts with a fuck me shit look. Zodiac waves his arms forward, and the riders charge. Blaze rears back on his rear wheel and charges in them. This is actually kind of fucking cool. The six riders, the ranger, the brute, the duelist, the saint, the nomad, and the champion surround Blaze. He's in a shitstorm of pain. He and his whip and the Ducati are damn near no match. He revs the bike through them, spinning faster, lashing out, seeking to hammer the skulls. Ooh, no, don't do that. But the riders, well, I said hammer, not nail thing. But the riders overpower Blaze, swarm him into the center of the firestorm they've become. Blaze can feel he's being beaten. They fall upon him like anvils. They pound him into the ground. He cannot move. Then he sees Kate helpless. No, Kate, who loves him. He is loved. Okay, Huey Lewis. and Blaze surges through the riders, whipping out seemingly at Deacon, who dodges, but the flaming whip bites into Kate's bindings and frees her. Then Blaze is pulled back into the maelstrom of the riders. Zodiac's eyes roll back in his head. He summons every ounce of his magical strength to control the riders, who finally subdue Ghost Blaze and raise him up on a sea of fire, propelling him to Deacon's feet. Kate, now free, grabs Deacon's shotgun from where it lies. Deacon looms over Blaze, saber in hand. Blaze is held fast by the riders, forced to his knees. This is a really cool idea. Why, Deacon, this isn't you. You don't do this. What deal did you make? This saber is old, Blaze. I'm told it's been forged with the fire of angels, and only it can take the head of evil as powerful as you. Let's see if that's true. Kate stands back and presses the shotgun to the back of Zodiac's head and shoots. Zodiac launches forward, dead before he hits the ground, and the riders are released. Each staggers back into its own swirling dust devil of fire, allowing Blaze to rise. He spins on Deacon. The skulls still glow. The riders now sentinels held within Zodiac's magic. The glass knot is bright red around the stump where Zodiac's head should be. Ooh, that image. Getting Sleepy Hollow vibes. Though still less than what he was, Ghost Blaze goes after Deacon with a vengeance. Deacon swings the blade, fights with all he's got, all he's been given, but he's no match for a Johnny Blaze who wants to live. Blaze disarms Deacon, holds his face close, and delivers the penance stare.
What deal did you make?
And we see the opening, the tunnel ambush. It wasn't for Ghost Rider for Blaze. It was always for Deacon. For Deacon to betray the Rider, to betray Blaze. This is actually a pretty good twist. Flashing back to, a figure looms over Deacon as he lies on dying in the tunnel. Mephistopheles, finding Deacon's broken body. Your friend killed you. Your friend is the most powerful evil force in existence and must be destroyed. I can give you the power to do it, the resources, and you'll live. You'll do right. Justice will be served. Deacon accepts the offer he can't refuse. Blaze recoils, his fire extinguished by a wash of ice clouding out of the cavern mouth. Mephistopheles stands there. You have squandered your gift so recklessly, Johnny. You have turned your back on me, used the Ghost Rider for your own ends. You have grown more powerful than any rider before you, and you must be stopped. My riders have been drawn together, your power stripped. And so I'm guessing they would have tried to bring back Peter Fonda for this? Because there's a draft of Spirit of Vengeance where it's still a sequel. And they put in like a flashback to the deal scene from the first movie. And they say, oh yeah, he's gone under many forms, including that one. He glares down at Deacon. I thought we had a deal. I'll do it myself. Mephisto flicks his wrist. Deacon slams into the wall. Bones shatter. Blaze takes a step toward Deacon, his face filled with concern. Mephisto laughs. He betrayed you, and still you show compassion. You may well be the greatest failure the Riders have ever known. And with that, Mephisto rips into Ghost Blaze, literally beats the hell out of him. Deacon watches, broken, dying. Blaze is pummeled, throttled, pounded. Ooh, no. Beaten into the circle of the riders. Kate goes to Zodiac's body. The riders surround Blaze, malignant in the presence of their true master. The master only Blaze was strong enough to spurn. Except for Carter Slate. I keep doing it. For each rider, a burning iron chain lashes, snares Blaze, pulling his arms taut and offering. Blaze gazes at Deacon. Kate pulls Zodiac's glass knot from his dead body, stares at the glowing, twisting glass, traces of each rider's skull burn with it. A busted Deacon stares over at a beaten Blaze as Mephisto stalks triumphantly toward him. Blaze to Deacon. Now do you get it? Now do you see what I've been fighting against all these years? A deal with the devil is just a deal for the devil. Mephisto tips Blaze's chin up to him, caresses his cheek, feeling the skull inside, then holds his hand back, fingers open, waiting. Deacon, you made the deal. All's forgiven if you just hand me that saber. Deacon rises, the saber in his hand, the blade gleaming blue. Head down, shame on his face, he talks to Mephisto. Deacon, you are a righteous man. Now you work for the very evil you despise. I'm dead, and the next rider will be his weapon and his alone. And you've done that for him. Mephisto, Johnny, give it a rest. Deacon's on the winning team, and Mephisto finally looks back at Deacon. Deacon slowly raises his eyes, meets his master, then finds Blaze. Deacon uses the last of his strength to swing the heavenly blade at the Mephistopheles. The demon roars, and Kate raises a rock over her head and smashes it down onto the glowing glass knot. It would have been cool if she took control of the riders and turned them against Mephisto. That would have been cool. You know, take that note, Todd Farmer. Mephisto's head jerks towards the riders, their flames extinguished. They drop to the ground. No, as their glowing symbols fade and vanish. Suddenly, fire snakes into the air from each skull. And one by one, that fire slams into Johnny Blaze. And from this broken man rises the Ghost Rider. And there's this really fucking badass image of the Ghost Rider that they have here in the script. The demon Mephisto retreats into the cavern. Ghost Rider kneels beside his old friend. Your soul is clean, Deacon Gray. And with a hint of a smile, Deacon inhales two quick breaths and falls still, never to rise again. Bye, Sean Bean. You died for real this time. GR rises, nods to Kate, who knows better than to stick around. She turns and flees the cave as Blaze mounts his hell cycle and tears off after Mephisto. Mephistopheles, unable to pull the heavenly sword from his body, is no match for Ghost Rider. The whip lashes out, snaring the stuck saber. Rider snaps the chain back, and the saber tears up through Mephistopheles' body in a spray of light. That light explodes out of the cavern, blowing Kate off her feet. Through a cloud of smoke and dust and fire, the hell cycle emerges. The Ghost Rider steps off, his face changing back to Johnny Blaze. Not the lost Blaze, but one that's found, redeemed. He pulls Kate to her feet, and she throws her arms around him. The end. So that is Ghost Rider 2, Riders on the Storm. For the most part, very, very good. The romance is eh. I mean, it's maybe a little bit better than the one from the first movie, which is just kind of average superhero romance issues and relationship problems. And like then they make Roxanne into a reporter because Superman, I guess. But it's not the worst thing, but it is very generic. Like I said, the whole thing about the skulls powering the Ghost Rider, you could still do the same basic thing, but rewrite it in a way that I think would make a little bit more sense to me. And also, I would have liked like a little bit more backstory on Zodiac, because yeah, he's a minion of Satan, but I would have liked maybe one little line or two talking about like how he came to be that. You know, give him a little backstory, because Deacon's pretty well developed in this. He's a pretty strong villain. I feel like Zodiac could have used a little bit of that too. Like, did he make a deal? Is that how he got these psychic powers? Like, did he made a deal with Mephisto? And it would have been interesting to see. But I do think overall this is pretty strong. It's got a cool, just fix a couple of the problems I mentioned and, you know, flesh it out a little bit more in a full draft. I think it could have made for a pretty good movie. Maybe better. As much as I like Spirit of Vengeance, this might have been a better movie because it just feels like a more coherent kind of plot. And it wouldn't exist in this weird place where it's a quasi-sequel, but also a reboot, not really. And it doesn't have, like, the confusing parts of that movie, and kind of the dumber parts of it aren't here. But this is an interesting concept, and I would have been curious to see where they could have taken it, because they're, I mean, Todd Farmer and Patrick Lussier, they only made the two movies together, I think, before they went separate ways. But they were a pretty good creative team for a little while there. Like I said, My Bloody Valentine, pretty decent. Drive Angry, awesome, fun movie. One of the better Nick Cage movies from that era. Them all working together on this could have been magic. If there was, you know, you just fix some of those issues and it could have been something. So yeah, and so what happened to this is that they took their meeting with Avi Arad and Mike DeLuca liked the outline, and they heard later that Sony really liked it. And I'm not sure, they don't, Farmer in his blog doesn't really specify if the Marvel guys ever got back to them. But apparently Avi Arad said, yeah, it's pretty good, but I think it's too violent. Which is kind of funny considering the movie they ended up making is still pretty violent, even for a PG-13. Like, it pushes the boundaries a bit here and there. But, you know, knowing, you know, their previous body of work, this probably would have been R-rated too. But again, you would think that coming from Neville Dean and Taylor, but the movie is, you know, PG-13. So yeah, it's kind of a shame because it would have been interesting to see this go forward. Now, even if they did get the job and developed it some more, because they were going to make Drive Angry first. And Drive Angry did not do very well theatrically, unfortunately. It bombed. And there's this whole thing about Todd Farmer couldn't get much work after that. And like he was living out of his car for a while, which is really sad. I'm glad he's, you know, moved past that now. But so, yeah, maybe, you know, even if they did get the job and they went and, so if they would have went and made Drive Angry and the movie bombed, then maybe they wouldn't have had the job after that. You know, you just have to wonder, you know, if anything really would have changed. But, you know, it would have been cool to see them make this, see what could have come from it. So, yeah, that's Ghost Rider 2, Riders on the Storm. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and until next time, bye.